Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, sometimes you just need a different take on today's sports news, and that's just what we're going to do.
Woo-hoo! I say, sports fans.
A fresh look at the headlines is here with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
Getting what the ATL needs. A fresh weekend sports talk show.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's just get down to it.
Now, the Dopey Millennial Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's going on, Atlanta? Sports Radio and 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. I'm Caleb Johnson, going to be with you for the next 3.5 hours as we take you up to pregame of Hawks and Pacers. That's certainly going to be a topic of conversation we're going to discuss over the course of this show, of what's going on with the Hawks and what's going to happen with them at the trade deadline. There is a guy who, look, I like to think of myself highly as locked in with the Atlanta Hawks, cover all the games, going to practices, all those sorts of things. However, none does it better than Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, and he is going to join the show at the bottom of this hour, 1:40. We're going to have Brad Rowland on. Latest on the Hawks trade rumors, a couple of pieces could be on the go. As well as later in the show, 2:20, we're going to have old friend of 92.9 The Game, Thomas Mott, join the show to talk about his Philadelphia Eagles. You're going to be playing in the Super Bowl in a little over a week from now. And then before we get out of here, before we finish the show, we're going to have Jason Longshore on to talk about Atlanta United. Big signing obviously happening this week with Miguel Almirón. And more on the way. So plenty of things for us to get into over the course of these next 3.5 hours. However, I have to first off commend the wonderful, the incredible Noel, who has been producing all day. He's going to end up, putting in like probably a 12-hour shift, I think, by the time we're done here. Noel, I got to ask you, because I am very much excited to talk over the course of the next 3.5 hours. However, when I go home, I have something waiting for me when I get home that I am incredibly excited about. No, it's not sneakers. it is, and this makes me sound childish because I waited until today, but the new episode of Severance. Have you watched Severance on Apple TV?
Severance is a show that I've heard about since it premiered, but I have not gotten around to it. I know exactly what it is, who's in it, everything, but I have not experienced it yet.
Noel, I am one of the obsessed people with this show. I am one of those who I am deep diving into every fan theory. I am watching all of these breakdowns of each individual episode. They in partnership with Odyssey. They came out with the Severance podcast.
Nice.
That has Adam Scott and Ben Stiller. You can find on the Odyssey app. They do like episode breakdowns of each episode, and they have guests on.
So yeah.
Oh man, it's one of those. I don't love it as much for shows that like came out 20 years ago because it's a little bit more difficult for me to get back into it. But for a show that is so new and fresh like Severance is, it is incredible. It should, every award that it goes up for, it should win. I love when TV nerds out for its viewers, when it goes, hey, this is like really deep thinking. And every little thing that you see means something. We didn't just randomly throw stuff in there. Everything means something, and all kinds of fan theories are going on. And episode 3 of season 2 came out yesterday, and I've tried my best to not watch it immediately the day that it comes out. However, scrolling my TikTok since yesterday and being on Instagram, people are already talking about it, and I'm like, okay, so I can't wait. I gotta go.
So I gotta get to it soon
as the show is over. I'm gonna like pick up some food on the way home, and I'm going to watch Severance because it's incredible. And if you aren't watching it, you absolutely should. I know it's Apple TV, so it's real weird because that's just another.
I was watching Dickinson when it was on, so like, yeah. I'm familiar with Apple TV, so that's not that much of a barrier for me, at least.
Well, it's one of those like I get it's an extra subscription for some people, yeah. Or you know. Hey, we're not losing any money if you happen to find your way on the internet and happen to find the episode by way of free means. Like,
you just so happen to stumble across.
Yeah, you know, I got no judgment on you. I do the whole thing in my family where we all like share logins.
Yes, absolutely like, necessary.
We're the people that Netflix and Hulu and everyone hates. But it's just, I'm not paying for all that stuff.
It just makes sense.
Yeah. So for the ones that I have to pay for myself, like Netflix, because they don't want you password sharing, that's fine. But then one like Apple TV, absolutely I'm sharing until it gets to MLS season, and then I get the season pass for that stuff. But I bring that up because Severance is an example of television greatness. And when we get television greatness, we love it. Like, we love to talk about it. We love to celebrate it, every aspect of it. However, for one reason or another, when it comes to sports greatness, we love to claim we don't want it. Like, oh, I don't want a dynasty. I mean, look, those Patriots teams were so boring. I mean, it was just year after year after year, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick winning another one. I mean, it was too much. They were always winning. Alabama football, I mean, come on. Another national championship for Alabama football. I mean, come on. The Warriors, when they had their little dynasty going. I mean, it was just Warriors every year in the NBA Finals. Who really cares? We care. We absolutely care. And we need dynasties. We need greatness to keep our attention in sports. When it comes to the Patriots, what did you do as a fan? You did one of two things during that span of New England winning what it felt like every year, but it really wasn't. You jumped on the bandwagon with them, or you rooted against them. You were the ones who, when Spygate came out, you were like, see, they're cheaters. Deflategate comes out. Deflategate, you're like, hold on, that doesn't really make sense. That seems weird. We're talking about inflated or deflated footballs. Feels like we're going down a rabbit hole here. But if you didn't want to see the Patriots win, see, cheaters. They did it, cheaters. Alabama football. You waited at your television waiting for the day during the regular season. Ah, Ole Miss. Ah, Texas A&M. Georgia. Waiting to see them beat. Or you were the fan going, this is incredible. I need to watch every moment of this. With the Warriors, you might have been on the, Steph can't be up there with the greats. I mean, come on. sure, he changed the game with a three-point shot. Oh, he ruined basketball. Oh, it's incredible. Like, you were there for every moment of Steph hitting incredible shots, Draymond's antics, whether you thought KD sold his soul to go to the Warriors or it was an incredibly smart idea. If you're from a generation above me and you actually got to see Jordan's Bulls, you know they were the haters of, he's not the greatest. We're giving him too much credit. Or you were enjoying the greatness as it was happening. When it comes to what we're going to see a little over a week from now with the Kansas City Chiefs going for what's never been done before, cementing themselves already, whether they win or not, as a dynasty, at least in my book, you might say you don't like it. Ah, it's bad for sports. We don't need the same team winning every year. They don't win every year. And isn't that part of what makes you tune in? You tune in for the greatness, or you tune in to root against. It is the American way. It's funny, Garrett Chapman hit me up on social media earlier when I put this out about sports needing dynasties, sports needing greatness. And he was like, isn't it the American way to root against or hate on dynasties? Absolutely. So be a part of that camp. But we need them, because if we don't, the opposite is parity. We always say, oh, we want parity. Parity in sports. We talk about, oh, we want everything even. We want everything fair. No, you don't. And it gets proven to you every single time that we get some semblance of parity in different sports. College football this year, we got parity. Sure, there was the juggernaut that was Ohio State football, and they dominated pretty much the entire season outside of losing to Michigan. But you never really bought into them being the juggernaut. They weren't sold as the juggernaut. They weren't sold like we know Alabama football is year after year after year that gets people's attention. There wasn't really that hate against them. And then you had Notre Dame, the team that felt like a lot of people were like, hey, yeah, you don't really belong here. You always get bounced out, but they make the championship game. Viewership at a low for the last few years. When it comes to two teams who, if you could ever say two teams that deserved to be there, fought their way through a 12-team playoff to get there, and yet, the numbers show viewership down. You had parity. It wasn't the juggernaut of Alabama football. Or even I could see what Georgia has brought in the last few years of competing for championships. NBA ratings. Talking about them being down this year and what a problem that is. You know when they spiked this year? Number one rated NBA game this season, when the Cleveland Cavaliers on their, 16-17 game winning streak, play the Oklahoma City Thunder on their either 16 or 17 game winning streak. Greatness. Putting some longevity together that makes you want to tune in. You know what's going to grow Major League Baseball's numbers? I hate it because I don't want to see it as a fan of the Braves, but the Dodgers. The Dodgers start putting World Series together, and they're constantly in that conversation. People love to hate against greatness. It gets your attention one way or another. You know who I loved to hate on through his 50-0 boxing streak? Floyd Money Mayweather. You know how annoyed I was by that man every time we got a press conference from him? UFC, you got greatness from Conor McGregor. Until the greatness went away, then everyone stopped caring as much. It's the greatness that gets our attention because you pick a side one way or another. Now, sure, if it's your team being involved is going to get your attention. But as a whole, as a group, when it comes to watching sports, we need greatness. Dynasties are actually good for the game because it gives you a rooting interest. You're either in favor of the three-peat that's going to come up in a little over a week from now. This is a Super Bowl 59, I believe it is. Honestly, it's one of those I stopped counting. We finally actually, I will say, just as a caveat, we got a new interesting Super Bowl graphic this year with it being in New Orleans. Finally added some flair to, and I think they did this in Phoenix instead of just the like silver boring Roman numerals. We actually got to see some pizzazz. You're going to tune in, though, to be on one side or another of greatness. Sure, we're going to do the whole, I don't know, the refs rigging the game. I'm tired of seeing Taylor Swift and, you know, I'm not with the Mahomes family. You know, Britney's annoying and the brother Jackson and all of those sorts of things. Or you're on the, man, this is incredible. I can't wait to see what they're able to pull off. It's proven time and time again with our eyeballs, with our sports discussions, that greatness and dynasties, good for the game. All right, when we get back on the Dopey Millennial Show, we're going to get into our headlines of the weekend and of the day with the rest of the story. Trae Young getting trade. We'll talk about it next. It's right here. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio, 98.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app.
Back to the latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Dump the old ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Saturday. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks is going to join the show talking about, the latest trade rumors when it comes to the Hawks, as well as the potential of what can be done to end this current losing streak for the Hawks. So definitely want to stick around for that. I did want to, before we get into the rest of the story, I wanted to give a shout-out to an unfortunate season for DeJounte Murray. It has been. The guy, look, broke his hand or thumb, I believe it was, earlier in the year, at the beginning of the season, missed him some time, didn't get to play the Hawks in their first matchup against the Pelicans, and then is obviously playing on a really bad basketball team that can't kind of figure themselves out. Well, obviously, the trade has worked out in the Hawks' favor. And so, you know, you love that in the aspect of, okay, what we're getting from Dyson Daniels, the addition of Larry Nance Jr., plus the picks, help. I never want to see a guy getting injured, though, and that's what happened to DeJounte Murray last night. On top of breaking his thumb earlier in the season, DeJounte tore his Achilles last night. It was a non-contact injury. He just kind of stepped awkwardly after taking a rebound down. And, he's obviously going to miss the rest of the season. It's kind of an unfortunate thing for a guy. He is not, by any stretch of the imagination, old. It is just, he's in an awkward position of, he's definitely not getting any younger. And those Achilles injuries, especially for a guard that is not taller. He's not Kevin Durant where he can rise up over people. He needs that agility and speed to his game, and you got to wonder how that's going to slow things down for him. Obviously, he had the ACL injury that he had when he was with the Spurs early on in his career. Unfortunate season for DeJounte Murray that kind of further proves how good the Hawks are coming out looking in that trade. So, without any further ado, let's get into the rest of the story.
Now, Now, the rest of the story.
Shout out to the legend Paul Harvey as we talk about all the headlines of the day and of the weekend with the rest of the story. We'll start with the Atlanta Hawks, who are going to Indiana tonight, going to take on the Pacers. What is the rest of the story there? Well, the Hawks are on a 7-game losing streak. It has been one thing after another with this team as this started last week in New York. It is not related to this. It is just odd happenstance that the minute the Hawks decided to make a change to their starting lineup and start Onyeka Okongwu at the five in favor, instead of Clint Capela, the Hawks have not won a basketball game. Now, were there injuries? Yes. And the biggest one, obviously, being Jalen Johnson, lost for the season with his injured shoulder, had the right shoulder injury, obviously, and then the left shoulder came back, ended up tearing that labrum, and he's going to be out for the rest of the year. Unfortunate circumstances that then have set really into motion Bogey Bogdanovich, who continues to be out. Bogey is not going to play until he gets traded. I feel like that's pretty clear. That's not too outlandish to say, quite honestly, because his status went from dealing with an injury to not with the team. Actually, it was personal reason. I can't remember the injury, the leg injury that they put on this thing. Then Bogey came back. Then it was personal reasons or no injury designation. Then it was personal reasons. Now it's not with the team. Those are all pretty clear signs, as the same thing the Hawks have with Cody Zeller, that Bogey, probably both sides looking for, something else to move on. And Bogey obviously hadn't been shooting the ball well at all this season, as no Hawks player really had been. But Clint Capela also a part of that. I want to be careful to, without a doubt, say bogus injury, but when trade rumors start swirling, when you've been benched for another player, when the other center is now back from injury in Larry Nance Jr., and then all of a sudden you pop up with back spasms, yeah, makes us wonder how legitimate those sorts of things are. And if this is just a situation where, well, they didn't want to put a third player as not with team, and so Clint Capela out with back spasms, could be legitimate, could absolutely be legitimate, but really kind of points towards the likelihood that the Hawks are looking to potentially move Clint. I think it'd be really difficult to move both of these guys. It's something I'll ask Brad Rowland about, just because, you know, you're talking $18 million for Bogey, $20 million for Clint. Those are not contracts that are going to be easy for other teams to take on or make deals with that work out best for the Hawks' interest during the middle of the season. It seems like one of those guys is going to be dealt at the end of the year, or might be a situation where Clint just leaves in free agency, that type of thing, as his contract ends at the end of the season. Trade deadline is next Thursday, so that is certainly between now and then. At any moment, the Hawks could be making a move that we've got Shams tweeting out at some point, because it certainly seems like the Hawks are definitely, as we heard from Steve Koonin, he's locked in, right? Hawks CEO Steve Koonin was on Dukes and Bell yesterday, essentially saying the phones are ringing off the hook. Wouldn't necessarily, put everything on what Steve has to say. No offense to him. I think he's great at the business side of the team. But it's also, it is that painfully obvious that the Hawks are clearly looking to make some moves. But the Hawks are taking on the Indiana Pacers. That's a 5:00 tip-off today in Indiana, so 4:30 pregame right here on 92.9 The Game. Here's one thing I want to get, just make sure doesn't get lost when it comes to talking about the Hawks this season, is he's not going to win Rookie of the Year, but Zachary Risacher has been playing some incredible basketball in certain moments. Obviously, dealt with a little bit of a lagging injury. Most games he's ever played to this point in his career But Zach becoming this past week the first teenager in NBA history with multiple 30.0 turnover games, as he had back on November the 6th against the Knicks when he had 33 points and no turnovers. And then, obviously, a couple nights ago, 30 points against the Cavs, zero turnovers. It can't be understated how important Zach's growth is for the rest of this season. That has got to be priority number one for this Hawks team. For anyone thinking they're going to make some big move to try to improve this season, it ain't happening. It already wasn't happening. But as I said earlier on with Chris Thomas, the show, that officially ended the moment that Jalen Johnson was injured. Because the Hawks were always going to be playing a situation of like, hey, maybe we could make a run because clearly we've shown that we could beat top teams. However, you lose Jalen Johnson, you do not have a replacement on this roster, and you're not trading for one that is going to make a big enough impact right now. If you go get a Nurkic, sure, that'll help your big man depth, I guess. I don't think he's that great of a player. I think you're more so looking for to get a first-round pick with him. A Brandon Ingram, I just don't know if that is necessarily the best fit for the Hawks. It's all dependent on what they give up. But any move that this team is making, while it could make an impact right now on the floor, that is not the goal. The goal is make trades to improve this team towards the future. You're not looking to tank, obviously, because you don't own your pick. You're just looking for development, and the development of Zachary Zachet is by far the most important thing. Now, here's the last part of news and headlines of this past couple of days. Don't mistake me for a second. Trae Young was absolutely robbed to not make the All-Star game. It is a travesty that Trae Young is not representing the Eastern Conference in the All-Star game. So much so that I saw a couple of New York Knicks fan accounts on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, going, yeah, Trae got robbed. The fans that boo and yell obscenities at that man every time he's at the Garden, they recognize how good Trae's been this year. Obviously against their own team. But outside of that, it is just honestly, it is insanity to me when All-Star reserves were announced and we got, sure, Jaylen Brown, I get it. Pascal Siakam, borderline, but I'll allow it. Cade Cunningham, young, exciting new guard, I get it. Evan Mobley, that one makes sense. He's a very important piece of a top of the Eastern Conference team. However, Darius Garland, you're playing with Donovan Mitchell as your main ball handler, so your responsibilities, not at all on level with a Cade Cunningham, with a Trae Young, and your numbers don't even back up what Trae's done this season. Points or assists. And the fact that obviously we know Trae's leading the league in assists. It's just, it's insanity. I think the one that really like drove me over the edge, Tyler Hero. Like what are we doing when we're voting in Tyler Hero to the All-Star game and not Trae Young? Like, there is no world in which that makes sense. I don't like it, but I get that Damian Lillard gets the legacy vote in. He gets the, oh, yeah, Dame's got to be good, right? Yeah. Dame's playing a good season, yeah, right, you know? We're not going to look too closely into it. Or seeing the fact that fans did not vote him in the top five. NBA players voted him eighth as the eighth best guard in the East. LaMelo gets the fan vote, and he gets third amongst Eastern Conference guards. Trey is, what, fourth in the fan vote, third amongst players. How about we wake up NBA head coaches who are the ones who vote on this sort of thing and pay attention? Like, I honestly, after seeing this, I want to ask Quinn Snyder, do you guys get some sort of like one sheet when you go vote? Or are you just voting off the top of your dome? Because if NBA coaches are just voting off the top of their dome, I'm not at all surprised, because perception becomes reality. And you're not paying attention to who's actually having a good season, who's not. You go, we'll put in Darius Garland. His team's playing good. We'll put in a Damian Lillard. His team's good. We'll put in a Tyler Hero. He's having a deal with Jimmy this year. You know, he's having a good season. No, I don't care about wins and losses. We get into empty stats. I understand those sorts of things. But not putting in Tyrese Maxey, not putting in Trae Young, LaMelo Ball, these are players that fans want to see and are having great seasons, and we are ignoring them for what I believe is some laziness on the voting aspect. All right, when we get back, Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks is going to join the show. What's the latest on the trade rumors for the Hawks? We'll discuss it next. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to the latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennials Show.
Dump the old-ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennials Show. Caleb Johnson here with you going until 4:30 today. That is when pregame starts for the Hawks and the Pacers later on today. The Hawks obviously trying to break a 7-game losing streak, and the team that they have to do so against, not exactly an ideal matchup for the Hawks. The Pacers, as of late, 8-2 in their last 10 games, playing some really good basketball and have had a lot of rest. However, most of you very much interested in the moves that the Hawks could be making between now and next Thursday. And we're going to bring in a guy who is locked in on all of those things. Very much lame dad, pun intended, as we're going to bring in Brad Rowland on the WaitFor.com hotline. Brad, of course, Locked On Hawks podcast, as well as you can follow him on social media at BT Rowland. And Brad, look, we look over the course of what's carried on longer than a week now, the Hawks 7-game losing streak. Biggest reason that you would put on how the Hawks have ended up in this position of so much excitement, it felt like a couple weeks ago, of like, yeah, this team could, you know, maybe go on a fun playoff run, to the doom and gloom that we find ourselves on February 1st?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of injuries and a very ill-timed shooting slump at the same time, when they really couldn't afford that because of the injuries, is what I would say. You know, this team's just not been the same without Jalen Johnson all season long. Before this injury, the numbers showed that. Now that he's been out, the numbers are showing that again. They don't have a replacement for him, naturally. It's not just him either. Like, during this losing streak, they've been without Hunter. They've been without Trae Young for a game. Dyson missed a game. Bogdanović and Capella, we'll talk about in a second, are not around the team right now. They're just not very deep. They're not very, you know, well-constructed at this very moment, given what they have available. And then they can't make a shot on top of that. And it becomes kind of difficult, because they really did play very well defensively for at least 4 or 5 of these 7 games, to the point where you would expect them to win when they do that. But at the same time, they just weren't able to make shots. So it's a combination of those two things. I think the injuries are probably slightly more important, but the shooting has been pretty brutal as well.
Yeah, Brad, that shooting slump that you talk about, where I can't remember the specifics. I've seen it pop up a time or two, as far as shooting under 30% felt like the Hawks have been doing as of late. Have you seen anything that has led to that sort of happening? Is it just, hey, teams don't have to worry about as many different guys, and so they're able to focus on the Hawks shooters more, or is it more to that?
That could be part of it for sure. You know, they have a little bit less rim pressure. Like, Jalen Johnson is their best guy at getting all the way to the rim,
sure.
And being without him, they don't have a lot of guys available on the roster. Even for, you know, for all of Trae Young's strengths, he's not someone that's going to get on top of the rim. Like, he's a below-the-rim player. And this is not a team that has a ton of rim pressure anyway, outside of Jalen Johnson. So that's why, you know, this is kind of a different subject. But people, you know, when you miss a lot of threes, I'm sure you've seen this as well, people want to say, all right, we'll stop taking them. And I said, well, you can't really do that in the modern NBA, number one, just from a math standpoint. But number two, they don't really have an alternative. Like, this is a team that right now does not have a lot of guys who can, like, dominate at the rim either.
Yeah.
So you got to take more of them. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's a combination of the guys who are good shooters, your DeAndre Hunters, your Garrison Matthews, Bogey when he plays, Trey when he plays, all that stuff, are not shooting well. And then they also don't have a lot of shooters. And that combination of those two things is kind of a – it's very simple, but it's also kind of explains it, where, you know, when you're good shooters don't make shots, and you don't really have a lot of great shooters, that combination is tough.
All right, Brad, obviously the other big part of news that's come out over the last couple of days was the All-Star Reserves, where – I had tried to warn people. I felt like I knew this was coming. However, ultimately, the names that come out as All-Star Reserves, a couple of them rather surprising to me, as Trae Young not selected as an All-Star Reserve. However, Tyler Hero, Darius Garland, and Damian Lillard are. Now, from your perspective, I want to ask about this element first. You've got a LaMelo Ball, a guy who is obviously voted well by the fans and actually voted up pretty high. I think he was third amongst guards by the players. And, you know, a similar situation with Trae Young, where he was voted pretty decently amongst fans and, you know, and players. And yet when it comes to the coaches who are making these decisions, they're on the outside looking in, but somehow a guy like Tyler Hero is making it. Like, what sense do you make of all of this when it comes to the All-Star voting?
Yeah, it's really hard because it's such a small sample. Like, coaches are voting. They don't reveal what the coaches' ballots look like.
Which they should.
Right. It's kind of a mysterious process, and, you know, it's a much smaller panel than it is for any of the other. Like, you know, even when the media votes, it's like 100 people voting versus 30 coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tinier sample. I, like you, I was not as surprised as I was bothered, if that makes sense. Like, I actually, just to be honest, I thought Trae was going to make it, but I also thought it was not like a, by any means, a lock that he was going to make it because of what's happened before. I mean, this is the third time in 6 years that I think he's been pretty much clearly snubbed and should have been on the All-Star team. And it's kind of silly in some respects, but yeah, maybe it's, you know, you can make arguments all you want to. Team success is one that I've heard, but, like, the Miami Heat are not having some great season. And
one more win than the Hawks do.
and when they voted, I'm not even sure that was the case. And then when the voting
right.
was due, I think the Hawks actually might have had a small edge there. So you can't make that argument, really. I mean, with LaMelo Ball, you could just say Charlotte's a terrible team, and they are. And that's, you know, not always what I would say is the biggest criteria, but at least there's a very simple explanation. Like, the Hornets are bad. He doesn't get credit for that. The Hawks don't have that problem, and Trae is by far their best player. I mean, Jalen's having a great season, but he's been hurt. People know that. I don't know. It's tough, and you don't want to single guys out. I'm glad you said three names instead of one. Like, I think Tyler Hero is the one that I focused on the most, but, you know, Darius Garland's having a great season, but he's like their third or fourth guy.
That's
the Cavs. Damian Lillard, same thing. So, like, it's
yeah.
a different situation where Trae's asked to do so much, and to not be rewarded for that is frustrating. And I think he's frustrated too, if you haven't seen what he's been saying in the last day or so.
Yeah. Now, Devin Booker, obviously another player looking on the outside, and not making the All-Star team, he floated out the idea of, hey, we've got a really, you know, we've got a lot of talented players in the NBA. Maybe we should expand All-Star rosters. Is that something you think that the league would even be open to? And do you think it's a good idea at all?
It's one of those things where it's, like, hard to make the case now because it feels like you're just saying it because your guy didn't make a team.
Sure.
But at the same time, if you look at when the All-Star teams were constructed with 12 players, the league was, I think, 8 teams fewer than it is now. So percentage-wise, like, there are fewer All-Stars than there have ever been compared to the population of the league. And also, NBA rosters are now 15 guys on full contracts, and really 18 if you count two ways, whereas
yeah.
they used to be 12. So that's why they did 12 in the first place. It was the roster was 12. Now it's 15, and really it's kind of 18 I'm not saying you go to 18, but yeah, I think if you wanted to be accurate to history and say, all right, what percentage of these guys are all-stars, you would make it 15. I would hope Trey would have made it if it was 15, but you know, somebody's always going to be a snub, and I'm aware of that, even if you expand the rosters.
Sure.
But I think Trey should have also made it in the top 12, so there we are.
Yeah. Talking with Brad Rowland on the waitfor.com hotline. You can find Brad on social media at BT Rowland, as well as subscribe to his podcast, Locked on Hawks. Brad, we're less than a week away from the trade deadline. It feels painfully obvious at this point that the Hawks are trying to move either Bogey Bogdanovich or Clint Capella. You know, given all the rumors that are swirling, you got Phoenix, New Orleans, amongst others. What are your realistic expectations for the Hawks making moves at the trade deadline? And is there a scenario in which you could realistically see both Bogey and Clint leaving this team at the deadline?
Yeah, to start there, I think there is a realistic possibility. One of my bits is, and I do believe it, is that trades are hard to make. They're a lot harder than fans realize that they are to make. You can't just press a button and send the guy out. I mean, I guess you could if you want to make a bad trade. You know what I mean? But yeah, it does feel like, especially with Bogey, it's a little bit different with Bogey than with Clint, where they're not even listening to injury with Bogey at this point. They're not even trying to hide it. It's like they're and what I would say is it's not a 100% chance that he is traded. It never is. Like, there is a possibility that they just can't find a deal. They go to Bogey and say, all right, come on back and let's play this thing out. But it seems like Bogey is likely to be moved from what I have heard and what's been out there and what's been reported. Clint a little bit less so. But it's also with Capella, he's an expiring contract. Bogey is not, which kind of complicates matters a little bit. Clint, you could just say, all right, we're going to kind of move on here if you want to. Maybe you buy him out, whatever you want to do there, given where the Hawks are. But yeah, they could trade them both. It just depends on what's available to them. And also the Hawks have this conflicting incentive, which I know you've covered too, where they don't have their own pick. So most teams in this situation, you lose Jalen Johnson, you kind of say, all right, guys, we're shutting it down. And the Hawks don't really have any reason to do that. Plus, it helps you to win games, to sell more tickets and try to get in the playoffs, all that stuff too. So there's all this stuff going in different directions, but it does seem like Bogey for sure, and to some extent Capella, are firmly on the block.
In your opinion, Brad, are those the only two names that you would expect to see moved, or you think anyone outside of that is up for those conversations as well?
I think they are the two most likely, along with Cody Zeller, who people just forget exists. I think he certainly would be firmly in the trade candidate realm, just because that's the reason why he's on the team. I'll do the short version. Just so that's the reason why he's still under contract, is that they could trade him in the next few days. The other guy that I would mention, at least, is Larry Nance Jr. I don't think that they were going to trade Capella and Nance, but maybe there's a team that just kind of bowls him over for Nance instead of Capella. He's also an expiring contract. I think it would make sense for some teams to maybe call on him. I'd be surprised if they moved anybody else. You know, people are calling about DeAndre Hunter, I'm sure. The Hawks seem to buy back in on DeAndre. I think a year ago, Hunter was very available in trade, but he's having a good season, and the Hawks, I think, are not trying to trade him anymore. And everybody else is basically either super young and, you know, the core pieces like Reese Oshae and Daniels and Johnson and Trey, or your guys who don't really have a ton of value. So I'm definitely watching Capella and Bogey the most, along with, I guess you want to say, Cody Zeller, but Nance is the wild card for me.
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter is the one that you go, I feel like most of the frustrations came with him being injured. And it's like, well, if he's healthy, as he has been for a majority of the season, then leave him where he's at. It feels like things are working out. All right, Brad, last one I'll ask you. Is Indiana a team that the Hawks can break this 7-game losing streak against? I mean, obviously, I mentioned the 8-2 that they have played up to this point. The other thing that I found really odd is, just given their schedule and going to play over in France against the Spurs, this is just their second game that they've played in like a week, and the Hawks are playing their fourth game this week. So, what do you feel likelihood against the Pacers tonight?
It is a tough spot for sure. The optimistic case is the Hawks have played well when they are big underdogs this season. That's been an area where they've actually excelled at times. But the counter case is what you just said, the rest. Indiana is a lot healthier than Atlanta is right now. I mean, even if you want to, it's not necessarily only injury-based, but you're playing without Jalen already, and then you take Capella and Bogey away. That's three of your top eight players that are not playing in this game. It's in Indiana, but I think it's winnable for the Hawks. I would not pick them to win. I think if you go into a game as an 8-point underdog as they are right now, you can't really pick them to win with any conscience, but it's definitely winnable. I don't know, 30%, something like that. It's not a game that you definitely have to lose, and the Hawks have been good in these situations, but they're going to have to shoot better, I'll tell you that.
All right, that is Brad Rowland. Brad, thanks for giving us some of your time on this Saturday. Go follow his social media at BT Rowland, and then subscribe to the podcast, Locked On Hawks. We appreciate it, Brad.
Thanks for having me.
All right, when we get back, there needs to be something done about the NFL Pro Bowl. No, not the game. Not talking about the game. But something else has to be done. We're going to talk about it next. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.